you have private health insurance? I suspect the answer to that question, it may be age-related. If you do have it, do you feel it gives you value for money? I want your thoughts. Give us a text, 0418 226 576, because even though we have a public healthcare system that's by any estimate one of the best in the world, that success that we enjoy, it's partly underwritten by this large private health insurance industry, and that in turn is subsidised by, well, all of us, by taxpayers. That industry, that arrangement, is in a death spiral. That's according to a new report from the Grattan Institute. It's a report that says that rising premiums are forcing more and more people to drop their cover, and that in turn forces insurers to increase premiums. And on we go. Greens leader Senator Richard Di Natale is a former GP. He joins us now. Senator?
G'day, Jonathan.
This Grattan Institute report, it describes our healthcare system as an unhappy mix of this partially public, partially private system, riddled with inconsistencies and perverse incentives. Does that sound fair or familiar to you?
Oh, that's spot on. And I've been saying for many, many years that we've got a major problem with our health system, in that what we're doing is heading down the American route, where you have a two-tiered health system. You have one level of healthcare for people who are covered by private health insurance, and increasingly the public health system is becoming this rump that's more of a safety net than the universal system that it was designed to be. And so what we need to do is get back to that principle of public healthcare being the basis of a good public health system, where we make sure that everybody who wants access to decent healthcare can access it through a universal public health system. And if someone wants to get private health insurance, they should feel free to do it. But we shouldn't be directing billions of dollars of public money into a private healthcare system, which is great for the profits of the private insurers, but where you're seeing the costs of premiums go up, you're seeing the level of cover continue to decrease, and what you end up with is a system that means that sometimes people are whacked with huge out-of-pocket costs when they opt to go down the private route.
Government has had a big role in this. I mean, when we first got universal health cover in this country, private health insurance dropped down to high 20s, 30% of people. Howard government intervened in that market, and that level raised itself to 40, 50%. It's now on the downhill slide again. Is our health system, though, increasingly dependent on that input? Can we service the health needs of Australians without that private fund injection?
Absolutely. And the big lie that John Howard sold was that by putting public money into the private health system, we'd take pressure off the public system. In fact, what we've done is we've redirected a whole lot of public money into the private system, and we would have got much better value for money if that had stayed within the public system. We could have Medicare-funded dental care if we reinvested the nearly $7 billion a year, and that doesn't include the penalties that are applied. That's just in the form of the private health insurance rebate. If that was redirected into the public system, we could slash waiting lists, or we could have Medicare-funded dental care, we could have a public health system that's once again the envy of the world. And the problem with the system at the moment is we're now spending all of this money into the directing it into the private system. The system's failing because young people recognise that it's a dud product for them. I mean, as a young person, there is very little value in having a policy that you're unlikely to use, but the private health insurers want you to have, so that you can cross-subsidise some of their more expensive clients.
Well, one commentator today described the system as intergenerational theft, wealth redistribution between young and older Australians.
Oh, well, it's theft in many different ways. If you're living in a regional community, you've got less access to private health services, so you're disadvantaged. Remember that half of the community aren't covered by private health insurance, but they all end up paying for it, because public money is going into the private system.
But how do we unscramble that egg? Because we do have a system which is a mix of the two things, and the private system services people in this country for their health needs. We can't just nationalise that. We can't just restrict that to very high-income individuals. How do we fix this hybrid?
People can continue to have private health insurance. That should be a choice that's left up to them. But the key thing here is we should not be spending nearly $7 billion a year of public money to allow them to make that choice. That $7 billion should be reinvested back into the public health system, and we have to get back to that principle of universality, that our health system is for everybody, that healthcare is a human right, that you should be able to access healthcare based on need, not ability to pay, but on whether you need to have treatment or not. And if you do that, you achieve all of the objectives we want from the health system. It's a much fairer system, much more equitable. But just as importantly, it's actually more efficient. We get better value for money when we have one universal healthcare system. I mean, Medicare is basically a big insurer, and it insures all of us. And when you've got a single insurer like Medicare, it actually keeps a lid on prices, because rather than doctors setting prices, it's the insurer that sets prices through Medicare. So it's efficient, it's fair. It's the sort of system that any decent, civilised country understands that should underpin healthcare. And we had it in Australia, and we're slowly whittling it away and heading down the US route, which is a recipe for an expensive, unfair health system that leaves a lot of people without cover.
On that point, though, of value for money, it would seem that private healthcare and private health insurance is a business model that only operates with some input from the taxpayer.
But that's not right. That's not right.
How else does it? You know, it would seem that that's what's required to get people involved in that system.
Well, that starts from the premise that is a flawed premise, and the flawed premise is, we want to increase the level of private health cover to take pressure off the public system, and therefore we have to use public money to do it. Now, that's the premise on which the current system is built, and it's flawed. But we've taken money out of the public health system, and we haven't seen a commensurate reduction.
But how much money would you need to inject into the public system to compensate for the absence of that private system? Would that be greater than the incentives that the government contributes through, you know, tax lost to supporting private healthcare?
Well, the important thing here is that for every dollar you spend on the public health system that you're not spending in private healthcare, you get as good, if not better, value for money. So every cent, every cent of public money that is currently spent on propping up the private health insurance industry, if that was spent back in the public system, we'd get as good, but more likely better value for money than what we're getting at the moment. The private system wouldn't collapse. What we'd see is we'd see a reduction in the level of private health insurance coverage to levels that were around pre the Howard era changes. So we'd probably be in the ballpark where instead of 45 to 50% of the community having private health insurance coverage, it'd be around 30%, because some people will continue to make that choice, and they'll make it for a few reasons. One of the advantages of private health cover is you get to choose the date of your surgery, and you get to choose the person who might be doing it. Most people will accept that when it comes to urgent surgery in the public system, you'll get it when you need it. And when it comes to elective surgery, you may have to wait in a way that you might not have to with the private system. If that is a big enough advantage for you, you'll take out private health cover. Yep. Otherwise, you'll stick with the public system.
Can we pivot, Richard Di Natale, towards China? Just a final point. Last night's Four Corners program, there were disturbing accounts there of ethnic Uyghurs detained in China's Xinjiang province. You've called for the federal government to act there. What do we do when our primary trading partner turns out to be, you know, a morally dubious and autocratic state?
Well, you decide if you stand in support of human rights or whether you're prepared to turn a blind eye. I mean, it's a moral question as much as it is an economic one. And if you believe that human rights are critical and that we should do everything we can to uphold them, then you take action. And I think there are some things we could do. We could impose targeted sanctions like travel bans against some of the officials who are involved in this.
The response to that could well be economically crippling to this country, couldn't it?
My view is that you have to be prepared to take strong action when you see human rights on the scale of which are occurring right now. We're talking about people being rounded up in internment camps, a mass surveillance program going on, forced labour, restrictions on people's movements. It's ripping families apart. And you've got to decide if you stand, you know, in support of human rights, if you're prepared to uphold them. And so I think we should take strong action. We welcome the fact that Australia added its name to a joint statement urging China to end this program of arbitrary detention. But we do need to go further, and I think Australia needs to express in the strongest possible terms that it's unacceptable and that it's about time China reverse this horrific policy.
Senator, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Senator Richard Di Natale is Greens leader and, apropos of our conversation around health, a former general practitioner.